I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 71 and verse 18. Now, this is a passage in which the psalmist was directed to by the Spirit to write about something that will affect us all if we live long enough, and that is becoming old. This morning, I'm going to point out that God is with us when I grow old and infirm. The title of the sermon, Thou Art With Me When I Grow Old and Infirm. In Psalm 71 and verse 18, Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. It's often been said that age is just a state of mind. And I guess that makes sense to all those whose minds who haven't gotten there yet. Perhaps they haven't learned that thinking doesn't make it so. And so it's without doubt that the body is involved in the aging process. Sometimes there's a battle between the two to see which one will win the contest at that particular moment. Mind over matter, if you will. But the mind cannot always prevail. As with age, there are some things we can no longer do that we once did, or maybe they take longer than they used to, or we hurt more afterwards. Each has an effect on the other, and the mental attitude does indeed play some part in the condition of the body at times, but other times the body will hurt to the point that the mind doesn't function as it should. When these things occur, it may cause us to think we have outlived our usefulness, perhaps in the Lord's work, or perhaps in other areas. I have known people who have said, I'm old, I need to retire. Maybe you can't do what you used to do, or what you did do for so many years, but there's always work that can be done for the Lord, and He will not forget you. Growing older is a part of life. It can affect us in two ways. One, we may feel useless. On the other hand, it may serve to remind us that growing older is just another part of life. It's a natural process. If so, we can accept this and make the best of it. Perhaps because of our age, we have experienced more than some of the younger crowd. And hopefully we've used our time to learn more of God's Word. And hopefully we can pass this on to other people. Sound advice to those who are younger and less experienced. Notice in our text as we read it this morning, that was the desire. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. But while we think about growing older, I think oftentimes we think about the problems associated with it. You know, there are some benefits to growing older. When we're younger and we look ahead, we think, well, there's not so many benefits. But there are. And by benefits, I'm not speaking of Social Security or Medicare and that sort of thing. I proudly tell people, yes, I am a Medicare recipient. I have reached that time in my life. Now, not yet drawing Social Security, but that's getting there. It's getting real close. But one of the benefits of growing older is honor. And this honor, of course, needs to be earned. But God coupled age with honor. I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. And of course, none are due the honor that is to be extended to God. To God be the glory. But God recognized and realized that those who are of age and experience are to be given honor. He said, Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. When you stop and think about it, because of the additional opportunity for the experience and the knowledge that should come with age, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, we see that the Spirit had Peter instruct the younger, and note that this extends to all within the body, lest anyone let it go to their head. As the Spirit directed Peter there, he said, Likewise, the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Additionally, we see The Apostle Paul was directed to instruct Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, in regard to teaching for the older men and the women as they help the younger to navigate life. We all have or are in the process of helping our children grow to the age of maturity and hopefully providing them the wisdom that they need. But when Titus was directed this way, we see that if God's plan is followed, there'll be a much more harmonious outcome than is realized by many folks today. We read, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." When teaching is involved, when instruction is involved and is speaking, it should be the things that are in alignment with the Word of God. And he tells what some of these things are in verses 2 and following. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." Those who have that experience, those who have gained that knowledge through diligent study while they were young, should indeed be sound. Most importantly, sound in the faith. They are in love. They show their love for people. They have patience, realizing and understanding not everyone has the same amount of knowledge. Not everyone has the same amount of experience. Not everyone is going to be as diligent as perhaps they are. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. And as we break away from the reading just for a second, we see that there's some things here that today a lot of women don't want to listen to be keepers at home. I hear the excuse all the time, but we have to work. That does not negate your responsibility toward home. The woman is to bring the children up. The husband is to be involved as well. But we see here that they are to be keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, if God sees beauty, maturity, and usefulness in our growing older, shouldn't we? We oftentimes want to focus on the downside, the pains, the hair, those of us who still have it, growing white. But it seems from these scriptures that God is depending on older people to continue their work for Him, to continue the church. We ask ourselves, what's going to happen in the future? You know, it's a strange phenomenon that has occurred. Churches are growing smaller. They're losing the young people. Perhaps the old people can help that situation. But know that God will not forget or forsake folks when they become old, whenever that is. Some perhaps think they advance in age that maybe the Lord doesn't address their needs as He seemed to when they were younger. The fact of the matter is that as our bodies become older, they are not able to function as efficiently as they once did. It looks like the Spirit in Psalms chapter 71 and verse 9 had the psalmist express a sentiment that some may have as the golden years approach, afraid that God is not going to continue to assist them or work through them. In that passage he wrote, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth." And you have to kind of understand what was going on with David at that time. His enemies spoke against him. They plotted against him. They did everything they could. And perhaps David was feeling his age and wondered if he had the strength that was needed to persevere as he got older. I think oftentimes we continue to look at ourselves and we analyze ourselves and say, you know, am I able to continue? Am I able to press on? Because of physical issues and pains and discomforts. But don't fret. We have many passages that assure us that God's people, that God doesn't forsake His own, whether young or old. In Psalms 35 and verse 25, we find one of these passages from the Old Testament. It speaks of both phases of life and the benefit of all of those who will serve Him in every age. The psalmist there was directed to write, I have been young and now am old. It tells us that he had youth. He has now had many more years. He is now what people would consider old. But notice what he says. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That was the assurance in that particular dispensation of time. But we've not been left out of that either. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, you'll see that the Spirit had that penman write to those Jewish Christians to direct their minds, that we have the same assurance today if we are faithful Christians. I said Jewish Christians. I probably should have said Hebrew Christians because the Hebrews that had obeyed the gospel were no longer Jewish. They were now Christian. But he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's important that we understand that regardless of our age, if we belong to God and if we are faithful in our service to God, we are diligent in our study to God, he will not forsake us. He will not leave us. In fact, those who sometimes think that God has left him are not looking at themselves closely enough, and because of pains, discomforts that come along with age, they maybe have left God. And God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And this is true because of the great spiritual blessings we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 tells us of one of them. And I perhaps think that we should, as we get older, concentrate on passages such as this. Our bodies are going to become weak. Sometimes they're going to become frail. But because the Lord doesn't leave us, because the Lord does not forsake us, if we seek him, the strength he offers from his word can be renewed and revived daily. He said, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. One of the things that perhaps we ought to think about when we're getting older is that we can't physically do the things that we once did. Isn't that more reason why we should spend more time studying and studying the Word of God? Just something to think about. What a great blessing to have the opportunity to sit at the feet of an older scholar with knowledge of the Word of God. I oftentimes lament the fact that my father-in-law passed away when he did. Not from the standpoint of missing him. Of course we miss him. But to be able to sit at his feet and to ask questions. Oftentimes we are at home and we're discussing the Bible and we say, you know, wouldn't it be great to call Dada? That's what we called him. To ask him this question. Because he had that experience. He had that knowledge. He spent many, many years studying the Word of God. And it always amazed me. I know that he was old, as people look at age. He did have some health issues. But when we called him about a Bible question, he seemed to liven up a little bit. And I was always amazed that he would immediately begin speaking of the passage, oftentimes quoting it, knowing full well that there's no way that he could have turned to that passage in that amount of time. What a blessing to sit at the feet of an older scholar with a knowledge of the Word of God. The question today is, are we preparing our young people toward genuine Bible scholarship? Are we guiding them? If not, what are they going to teach when we are gone and as they grow older? Who's going to rise to biblically challenge the atheist? Who's going to stand against the skeptic? Who's going to refute the evolutionists, the modernists? And the list could go on and on. There are some benefits of growing older. Let's embrace these benefits and let's use them and know that God will not forsake us. What does the Bible say about some great old people? Our time here this morning would not permit us to go through the list and talk about all the great people in the Bible because there are many. There are some who are not so great. We won't even talk about those at all. But I want to point out three great old people. Of course, we go back as far as we can. We go to Job. In Job chapter 5 and verse 11, we have a passage, or James chapter 5 and verse 11, I'm sorry. James chapter 5 and verse 11, we have a passage about perhaps the most well-known biblical example of patience. His greatness was his faithfulness to God. And regardless of what was heaped upon him, regardless of the problems in his life, regardless of the loss in his life, he refused to turn against God. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know, some might say that Job was a great man, even prior to all his trials and tribulations. He had much. He had possessions. He had family. He had stature. But these things meant little to Job in comparison to his love and his devotion to God. In Job chapter 42, verses 12 and 13, we see that God did truly bless him physically after these tribulations. All of these things that were taken away from him meant something to him, but God restored them and even more. Job was even greater in the eyes of man after he endured and overcame. The passage says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. His family was restored. His possessions were restored. And God never forgot Job. God never forsook Job, but showered him with physical blessings once the trials ended. You know, I'm sure that Job is at peace somewhere and waits eternity with God. Why? Because even in his age, and even the trials and tribulations that come along with age, and all of the things that he endured, he stood firm in service to God. Then there's Abraham and Sarah, these two great old people. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17 shows us they were used in God's plan. And they were used to fulfill the promise that God made to Abraham to be the father of many nations, and that his seed would be more numerous than the sands of the sea or the stars in the sky. That passage reads, "And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is over, that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" They had long passed the time of raising family. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 through 12, we find verbiage that clearly indicates that both Abraham and Sarah were what we might consider old. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even as one," speaking of Abraham, "and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." And great old people can't be discussed without considering David, the king of Israel. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, we find what made David great. Saul had been removed from being king because he took his own life while he was in battle. Sure, he had been shot, but he didn't want those who his enemies to take his life. He tried to get his armor bearer to do it, and he wouldn't do it. He would not take that action against God's anointed, and so Saul fell on his own sword. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, we read, "And when he had removed him," Saul, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." What a wonderful thing to have said about you by God. David, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, had the blemish of his actions when he took the wife of Uriah, when he planned the death of Uriah in a vain attempt to cover up his sin. This premeditated action was sin compacted. It's oftentimes when we try to cover up a sin with a sin, we get all balled up. And that's exactly what happened with David's situation. we'll see what happened there. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront in the hottest battle, and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die." What did David do? He sanctioned murder. So what made him great? Why would he be called a man after God's own heart? Because unlike many, David was willing and able to admit his error and do something about it. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, when Nathan brought this to David's attention, he finally acknowledged his sin. And he had repented, or God would not have put away David's sin. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." David went on to continue to rule that kingdom until he became very old. But his willingness to repent and serve God covers the great part of David. Now let's look at the old part. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 28, we see David's passing from this life in a good old age. But also we see some of the blessings have been bestowed upon David for his fidelity to God. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And of course, Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. The Lord had richly blessed these great servants right up to the time of their death. You know, he'll do the same for us if we serve him faithfully. We are richly blessed. We look oftentimes look about our lives, and people, I've heard Christians say, "Well, I'm not as blessed as other people." You may not have as much physically as other people, but if you are a child of God, you are blessed. If you have opportunity to read and study the Word of God and do it, you are blessed. And we need to look at these things. The older the person, the sweeter the service to God. No matter how infirm the body may become, God will continue to bless the spirit if the owner of that soul seeks to faithfully serve Him in accordance with His will. But as we're talking about becoming old, know that not all old men are great men, and not all great men in the eyes of other men are always wise. In Job chapter 32 and verse 9, we find a form of this statement made in by Elihu. And he was talking to Job. And this is a great truth. You know, sometimes even with knowledge and experience, they have older people to do some things that are not wise. The end of this verse is also a true statement, even though Elihu meant it as a slur against Job. He said, "Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment." Again, let's look at a few people and see what older people and the blunders that they have made. And maybe we can learn from these things. Let's take a closer look at Solomon. When his name is mentioned, the first thing that people think about is what? The fact that he was wiser than all. When he was offered anything he wanted, he requested wisdom. As a result, he became one of the wisest men on earth. He became the richest man on earth. And he was so wise that queens and kings came from other places to seek his counsel. He was able to settle disagreements among his people using wisdom. The first thing that pops into my mind is these two women bring a child. They each had a child, and during the night, one laid on a child, and the child died. Oh, what to do? What to do? Solomon, very quickly, with the wisdom given him by God, said, "Split the child in half and give half to one and half to the other," knowing full well that the mother is going to say, "No, no, no, don't do that." And it was easily determined who was the true mother of that infant. But he didn't always act wisely. This proves that while God blesses, he doesn't choose for us. Regardless of our age, we have to choose. We have to choose to obey him or not to obey him. We have to choose to serve him or not to serve him. And God is not going to bear the burden of our unwise decisions. We have to bear the consequences of our own actions at every age. In 1 Kings chapter 11 verses 1 and 2, we see that Solomon laid aside wisdom, and he followed his own inclination, and at the same time ignored God's warning about forming ties and having relations with those nations about them. And there was a reason for this. God told them what that reason was. But we read there in 1 Kings, beginning in chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you. And here's the reason. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And the passage tells us Solomon clave to these in love. Not very wise. Anytime we go against what God has said, we are unwise, whether we are old or whether we are young. And as we move to the third verse of that passage, 1 Kings chapter 11, we see the magnitude of his lack of wisdom. And we see the result of not using God's wonderful blessing that he had requested. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. How sad when some great man, such as Solomon, refuses God's counsel, and in his elder years, turned away from God. Consider Samuel's blunder. From 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 1, we find out that when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. And at that time, that was how God had chosen to rule Israel for many years. And this decision of Samuel's would have been okay, except for what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 3. And as I read this, I considered perhaps Samuel, having been raised by Eli, being offered by his mother to the service of the Lord if he would just give her a child. And perhaps he followed that poor example of Eli when it came to child rearing. If you'll remember correctly, Eli's sons made themselves vile for lack of restraint. Maybe that's why Solomon's son came to be the way they were. But we read in that passage, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Basically, what this is saying is when people came to them, as they were supposedly the judges of Israel, they would pay for a decision which would be most advantageous to them. Then we look a little further down in chapter 8 and verse 5. We see that Israel elders also made an unwise decision. They made an unwise decision because of the perverseness of Samuel's sons as judges. They came to Samuel, and they said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You know, they could look around and they could see, you know, here was a nation perhaps living in what seemed to be harmony, what seemed to be in a good society. And so they said, we want to be like them. There was no harmony when God's judgments were perverted by these men who were vile, those men who took bribes, perverted judgment. And so they said, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And that proved to be part of the undoing of Israel. There are just two examples there, and there are many more. They show us that older people can sometimes make mistakes just like young people. And sometimes these are devastating mistakes. But the fact that one grows old, and even in his later years does some foolish things, doesn't mean that God forsakes him, as long as they continue to seek God. God loves all souls, and he desires that they be saved from sin. And even in the times of weakness, in times of need, God is extending his great love to mankind. It should be a great comfort to know that God continues to offer blessings to man. The words of the Spirit in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17 regarding the God of heaven should be a great comfort regardless of age, especially to those who are his children. It says, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." As we gather here today, and as we talked about older people, you may consider, you know, I've got time ahead of me. I'm not old yet. And some of us who are on the precipice of being old think, well, we're not old yet. We're not infirm yet. But we can have great comfort in knowing that God will not forsake us when we get there. But God stands ready to cleanse your soul in the blood of Christ, if you will but obey. And if you're young, know that if your life is extended long enough, you will become old. And hopefully you can use that life in service to God. What one needs to do is follow God's instructions to obey him. And now is the time, and here is the place to do so. But some may not know what to do. The God's plan of salvation is very clear. It's concise, and it's easy to follow if one just will. One must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16 and other passages, repenting of their sins and turning to God, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, and this, by the way, is a commandment of God. One must also confess before men that Jesus Christ is God's Son, Matthew 10:32 and 33. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of past sins, Acts 2:38. And then rise from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. And then live faithfully, regardless of age. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, he wrote this to the congregation, old and young alike. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Perhaps there are those here who have done these things. They've obeyed the gospel. But for whatever reason, they've allowed sin to enter into their lives. Perhaps it's because of age, because of infirmity, because you think that perhaps God is not blessing us. Whatever the reason, know that if you are a child of God, he has extended to us the opportunity to come back to him when we fall, if we will but repent. In fact, one must repent and pray, as Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 shows us. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. If you obey the gospel and you always seek God, God is always there for you. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?